Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, John Kamensky, and today's conversation is with Vice Admiral Robert Moret, Director of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. Also joining me from IBM is Stephen Conver. Admiral, you mentioned earlier a presidential directive, Presidential Directive 12333, which was signed late last year. Could you tell us more about this directive, and specifically, could you outline its key provisions and how they affect NGA?
Certainly, John. It was an important document, in fact, one that I think was probably as important as any guidance that we've gotten from the national level since the passage of the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act nearly 5 years ago now. And I think if you put the two of those together, John, they represent the guidance that we have for personnel in the intelligence community and particularly the combat support agencies. And the central themes in both of those are the direction that we have to work more closely and more effectively with each other across the intelligence community, across the intelligence elements and others within the Department of Defense, and really across the interagency in our government. I think the ERP to reinforce that. It also established very clearly the structure of the three functional managers in United States intelligence, and filled in some of the blanks that existed in the ERPTA, the reform legislation that I mentioned earlier, which resulted in the stand-up of the Director of National Intelligence. So a very important document, and one that I think continues the progress and the evolution that has taken place in the U.S. intelligence community with the new national construct and the fairly dramatic reforms that have put in place, have been put in place for U.S. intelligence, just as I said, in the last 4 or 5 years.
A little earlier, you mentioned the importance of relationships and that, in a way, before you can really know a person, you kind of need to walk a mile in their shoes. I hear that NGA has taken this concept to a new level in supporting and collaborating with many of its partners. Well, could you elaborate on your efforts to strengthen and broaden enduring partnerships?
NGA has, as I mentioned earlier, personnel assigned at more than 150 locations around the world, and we have more than a quarter of our workforce, more than 2,000 people externally assigned that work outside our footprint. And that is very much a part of what we were just talking about earlier in terms of the direction that we have from the Director of National Intelligence and the Secretary of Defense to look outward, be collaborative, and be the most integrated partner across defense and the intelligence community. And as I tell our people all the time, 1 + 1 = 5. But that's true. When we work as part of another team, we integrate, for example, with the National Security Agency as part of an NSA-NGA team and with other elements of the national structure, 1 + 1 = 5. And that integration and collaboration is getting better and better all the time, largely enabled by the very strong direction that we have, as I said, from both the Secretary of Defense and the Director of National Intelligence.
Great. Admiral, I'd like to ask you a little bit about information sharing. Now, we've heard a lot about this, especially since the 9/11 Commission report, et cetera. A lot of discussion about the need for government elements, especially in the intelligence community, to share information in a timely way. So let me ask you, how is NGA working with other parts of the intelligence community on information sharing? What's NGA's role, and how would you say the community is doing in this regard?
Steve, I think we're getting better and better at it all the time, but as normally the case, I think me and all my counterparts are a little bit impatient on that front and always trying to accelerate it. I think the things that we are doing to advance information sharing and integration across the intelligence community and Department of Defense have to do with advances in a couple of different areas. First, in terms of how our people work with each other and the way that we are organized. And I can give several examples of that, Steve, but we have integrated teams at a variety of locations around the United States and overseas that reflect the collective efforts by the intelligence community, which is emerging over time as a more important national model, which has tremendous application. And the ways that we work as parts of an integrated team on all kinds of fairly exciting, fairly intense military missions, but also fairly deliberate missions on the civilian side is a national capability that I think is going to get more and more of a buzz all the time. So it's the people and the way we bring them together first. Second, I think the systems architectures that we are putting in place, integrated support and integrated IT across the intelligence community and the Department of Defense, and putting our systems together, as I said earlier, at the lowest classification level, is also an area which has made a lot of progress just in the past 2 to 3 years. And you know, to have common workstations that integrate, for example, imagery intelligence, signals intelligence, human intelligence, and interagency operational data, which are here already and getting better and better all the time, I think reflects also the importance of bringing us all more closely together.
Admiral, in the past year, a lot of different federal agencies and communities have launched their own version of Wikipedia or blogs. Could you talk a little bit about efforts within NGA to leverage these kinds of new social networking ideas and technologies, and how these kinds of tools can enhance your agency's ability to internally communicate and collaborate?
Absolutely. We're very much a part of that. I mean, in terms of Intellipedia, which is one of the key mechanisms for that, I was very pleased to learn that in its first year of existence that NGA was responsible for fully one-third of the content, which was in Intellipedia. To be honest with you, the younger members of our workforce tend to do better at that than the older members of our workforce. But that kind of integrated model, that kind of collaboration using fully enabled by all the web-based and other IT tools that we've got is something that's getting better and better all the time. In fact, it's gotten so good and is such a important part of our success that we're trying to do some things to measure it now. And the initial metrics that we're seeing relative to collaboration across the web are very, very encouraging, and ones that I think reflect the fact that a lot of the younger members of our workforce are moving out consistent with the direction that we've given to them relative to having an integrated approach to a whole variety of problems ranging from A to Z in ways that I think have great promise for the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been reading in the media that a lot of intelligence agencies are expressing the need for more analysts. How's NGA planning on recruiting, training, and retaining employees for the agency of the future?
We're currently hiring a very large number of people, several hundreds, almost up into four figures based upon growth that we have, and also not the least because of slightly revised demographic as we're moving into a new location here in the National Capital Region over the course of the next 2 years. But the analytical strength that we have and the way that we nurture our workforce and keep that core function alive and well in terms of, in this case, geospatial intelligence, and retain and train and integrate our workforce is probably our greatest leadership responsibility. And, you know, one of the things I was particularly happy to learn, we had some of our human resource experts come and talk to us about a year ago, and they the upshot of the discussion, John, was that our retention was too high at NGA, and I was very proud of that, that our retention was too high because they said we needed more turnover in the workforce. But I think it reflects the emphasis upon leadership that we have throughout the organization down to the most junior level, and our ability to keep people focused on the mission and keep people, particularly in the analytical field, but also in collections and R&D and the other things we're responsible for, focused on the mission and keep them in the organization for as long as we possibly can. I should mention, John, there's a couple of particular points of pride, and one I'll just take time to mention to you today. Our Deputy Chief Information Officer, Paul Munch, is 71 years old and one of our most effective people. And I say that to you because for me, retention is a little bit different from what it is for most other people.
Wow. Could you tell us a little bit about something called the Industry Interaction Program and how NGA is using this program to reach out to industry and make the process of working between business and government easier?
Good question, John. The Industry Interaction Program that we have at NGA, I think, is an area of particular strength that I'll credit my predecessor for because it was stood up by General Jim Clapper during his time as director. And what that is, John, it reflects an institutionalized process that we have at NGA in which any proposal from industry or any contact that we get from industry gets them a pretty thorough response. And it's a reflection of some inputs that we got from personnel and industry many years ago that they would often contact different parts of government and not hear anything back, quite frankly. So General Clapper institutionalized that part of our organization, and it's good for two reasons in particular that I'd mention. One, any of our industry partners with new or existing proposals know just where to go within NGA. And the second thing is, whether it's a new proposal or an existing one, they will get a response. And, you know, often, you know, when you contact some other organization, you don't hear anything back. That can be frustrating. But we make sure as part of this program that we provide as thorough a response as possible at any proposal of any type that comes from industry.
9/11, of course, was a seminal event for our nation. How has NGA's domestic mission changed after 9/11? And how have you gone about dealing with issues of public trust and confidence? For example, citizens may worry that you're taking pictures of them in their everyday lives.
That's less of a problem than I thought it might be, John. And I think that there are a lot of basic rights concerns that all our people have. We don't collect anything against the United States. It isn't consistent with the very strict oversight that we have. And as I mentioned earlier, John, all the things that we do in terms of our domestic mission sets are in support of a lead federal agency. We don't do anything by ourselves here relative to the United States. It's all in response to some of the organizations such as FEMA and DHS and others that I mentioned earlier. So I think there's a comfort level with that, and I think the stewardship that we have and the very responsible legal oversight that we have for any domestic mission is important. But moreover, as I mentioned earlier, the things that we do domestically are things that I am confident 99.9% of the American people want us to be doing. And that, as I said, that image earlier of Admiral Thad Allen holding up the picture of New Orleans with the NGA chart showing where the water is and where it isn't. I mean, those are the kinds of things that I think the American people should expect us to provide in any kind of domestic contingency. And we'll continue to do that.
Well, that's great. What does the future hold for the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency? We will ask Vice Admiral Robert Moret, Director of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.